just glad for everyone to be here and to worship God together. Just a wonderful experience we all have, worshiping the Lord together, especially on Sunday evening. We're just glad that everybody's present tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful that we can call on you in prayer, and grateful that you love us so much that you gave us your Son. And even though we have earthly relationships with parents and brothers and sisters and spouses and children and cousins and aunts and uncles and so many that are related to us and we love, we just know, Father, that no matter how much we love in this world, we can never love people as much as you loved us and proved it by giving your only Son, your one and only Son, to die in our place. And we're grateful for that, Father. We're grateful that we can call Jesus our Savior. We're grateful that you gave us the Bible, that it is the inspired word, that it is truth, and that we have it and we can read it and we can study it. We pray that, Father, you'll help us to obey it. Bless us tonight in our study. We pray through Christ. And amen. Now for our scripture reading tonight, we want to turn over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 4.
Scripture, when you find somebody who's the son of this, that means that particular characteristic
is the characteristic of their lives. Earlier in their ministry, James and John were called the sons of thunder. It means that in their attitude, in their words, in their speech, they were very loud, very boisterous, very fluttery, just like thunder might be. Well, here we have Barnabas. He is the son of encouragement. A Greek scholar named A.G. Robertson said this about Barnabas. He said, it is a great gift to be able to pick up and patch up men. Barnabas knew how to do it. Christianity can never forget the great work of Barnabas. Another preacher, a man named Clovis Chapel, wrote this about it. He said he knew how to put heart into the hopeless, how to change sobs into songs, he could turn tears into laughter. When he found an individual struggling with four flat tires, he could pick him up and set him on his way, riding on air. Now, obviously, that last part was symbolic, because there weren't any cars or things like that back in Barnabas' day, but this chapel was really trying to show the fact that you had a man who could really help people with encouragement. Now, why is this so important? It's because of the fact that in everybody's life, they need encouragement. I've never known anybody who said, I don't need any encouragement. I don't need any at all. Everybody understands that there are times when you're down. There are times when you feel that things are not going so well. And there are times when you just need somebody to say, hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate just the fact that you're trying. It's just a wonderful thing to think about the things you're trying to do. Now look at the events in Barnabas' life. We find it, first of all, here in Acts chapter 4. And we find a very unusual situation that we don't find in any other congregation. That is, you have members of the Lord's church who would have taken their property and they were selling it, and they were bringing it to the apostles. Now, unfortunately, some people and some groups have tried to force this and said this is something that is an obligation for everybody if they're going to be a Christian. Well, that's just not the case. Not the case at all. Because all through the rest of the New Testament, you find numerous examples of people who were members of the church who had homes. And they did not sell their homes. They did not give up what they had to give to the church. But if a person has it and they don't need it, they've got a spare piece of property, and they do not need it, they're not using it, and they want to give it, if they can freely sell that and give the money to the church, well, that's a wonderful thing. And Barnabas did that very thing here in chapter 4. It's likely that he might have led the people. He might have been the very first one to do it. And so it's a good thing to see about what Barnabas was doing as far as generosity. And then the other thing that we see next time is Barnabas. It was over in chapter 11. And Barnabas, chapter 9, it seems that after Paul had been converted, and he had a hard time really having the brethren to accept him. And that's perfectly understandable. Here's a man who had been threatening the church, had been taking people and putting them in jail, somebody who had been doing everything he could, even putting people to death, going to even to other cities like Damascus. He was doing everything he could to hurt the church and to just hurt the brethren, and thought that at that time he was doing the right thing, he was fulfilling God's will. Well, it took a miracle. Christ appeared before him on the road to Damascus, and Christ tells him that he's the one he's persecuting. He tells him to go into the city, it will be told to him. Paul goes into the city, he's blind for 3 days, and then Ananias comes, puts his hands on him, Paul is able to receive his sight. Then Ananias tells him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In that 3 day time, Paul did not eat anything, he did not drink anything, obviously showing the repentance that he had. He understood that the very person he was persecuting, the people he was persecuting, were really the people of God. So it's understandable that this man, Saul of Tarsus, would have a hard time with the brethren accepting him. Well, all of a sudden, Barnabas then goes and takes Paul and brings him to the brethren and exhorts them that they would, exhorted the brethren that they would accept Paul. And so again, this man of encouragement, he's able to encourage Paul, he's able to encourage the brethren in this particular way. Then the next time we find Barnabas is over in Acts chapter 11. Verses 23 and 24 says, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Much people were added to the Lord. Well, here we have a general statement. We don't know the specifics Barnabas did, but it says that he exhorted them they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, the way we do that today is by cleaving or sticking to his word. They did not have the written word. They had the apostles. They had those that the apostles laid their hands on for guidance at that time. But they were taught here by Barnabas to cleave unto the Lord. That is, that they would be very close to the Lord, staying with the Lord. And as we pointed out several times, that really summed up in Revelation chapter 2, be thou faithful unto death. Whatever it means, you be faithful. There's no greater way that we can say it, no clearer way that we can say it, just be faithful. And glory to his word, do what he says, obey what the Bible teaches you, and you will be happy in this life. You will have a good life, and one day you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we also see that in this Acts chapter 11, this one of Barnabas, when he got Saul, he is now in Tarsus, and Saul and Barnabas goes up to Tarsus, gets Saul, and brings him back to the city of Antioch, and he has him encourage the brethren there. Now we don't know exactly in all the details of how this thing came about. What did Barnabas say? Did he say, now Saul, we have a good work going in Antioch, or he said, we really could use you in Antioch? We really don't know those specifics. But we do know that he brought Saul of Tarsus to Antioch, and it says that they met the brethren there, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then also we see that Saul, or rather Barnabas, is one who is an evangelist first, because he goes with Saul of Tarsus on the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13 and 14. After chapter 15, when Saul and Barnabas had a division between them, then he takes John Mark and he goes to Cyprus and does more evangelistic work. Now let's look at the specific areas that Barnabas was known for in here in Scripture. Well, first of all, as we mentioned, the idea of generosity. Isn't that encouraging when you know somebody who is extremely generous? But the person doesn't have to be told or said, you know, it really is your obligation to be generous to the Lord. They just are naturally generous. And that's what Barnabas was. He took the land that he had. It wasn't an obligation. He had it. It was his property. And he sold it to give the Lord. It gives rise to the situation in chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, where they took property and they sold it and they gave part of the money. We don't know how much they kept. But the real sin was that they lied about it. They told them that they gave all the money, but they had only given part of the money. Now, the fact of the matter is, Peter tells them several things. In chapter 5, tells Ananias and Sapphira, when it was yours, it was yours. Peter's implying that you didn't have to sell that land. Secondly, he said, and when you sold it and got the money, that was yours. You didn't have to give all that money. You didn't have to give the whole thing to the church, to helping the people at that time, the widows and the orphans. They could have given half of the money, and they could have told the apostles, we sold the property for so much, and we have bought half the profits from the sale of that land, and we're giving that to the church. That would have been fine. Nothing wrong with that. The fact is, they wanted the glory of people thinking they had given all the money, and they lied in the process. And Peter said, your heart is not right with God. So we have this situation with Ananias and Sapphira that led or came about from the fact of Barnabas giving his and selling his land at that time. Now, again, the situation was Saul of Tarsus that we find over in chapter 9. It is something when people are suspicious of someone. And I can understand, you know, that man have been suspicious as well. I might have been very suspicious about this man who had been known to kill people, put him in prison, do everything he could, but Barnabas was willing to risk himself. It may have been, if Saul really hadn't been converted, and this whole thing was some sort of lie or some sort of trick, and that he was using it just so some Christians would come and see him, that they would put them in jail. That may have happened. If the story of Saul of Tarsus wasn't really true. So Barnabas was really taking a risk to go and see this man who had this terrible reputation, but in this situation, he is one who wants to just see for himself. And when he does, he sees that Saul's conversion was genuine. He brings him to the brethren. He encourages them to accept Saul, and Saul's accepted on that point. Now, the third thing we know is, as we mentioned just a moment ago, about how Barnabas is one who encouraged brethren to be faithful. And that's something that every one of us needs to do more of as far as helping one another. Just call somebody up and say, you know, I'm just thinking about you today. I just want to let you know that, you know, I appreciate you. And, you know, just be, keep on what you're doing. You're just doing good work for the Lord. Just God bless you. And he just wants you to know I'm thinking about you. You can make that little call. It only takes just a couple of minutes. And it just really makes somebody's day. And something like that is the kind of thing that you see Barnabas doing. It says, cleave unto the Lord. And what a wonderful, wonderful idea that was, that to just tell people, stay with the Lord. Now, we all have problems, and we all have temptations. And your temptations are not mine, my temptations are not yours. And so, in the very different temptations of life, we still need to tell each other, encourage each other, cleave unto the Lord. Stay faithful. Be thou faithful. And just help everybody to do so. Now, the fourth thing that we find about Barnabas is that is in the case of John Mark. Now, in the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas take John Mark with them. And having been on several mission trips, I've been on about a dozen of them, it is good that you go in groups. Now, I have taken a couple trips by myself, and I just know that when you've got four, five, six people, or sometimes we have eight or ten people in our group, it just went better. In every possible way, that sometimes you have a discouraging day, or sometimes something comes up and you can't answer somebody's question about the Bible or something, and you've got friends that will help you in that way. And just in every aspect, when you've got several of you together, it goes well. Now, in Acts chapter 13, John Mark leaves the group. He goes home. The Bible doesn't tell us why. The Bible doesn't say that he was homesick. It doesn't say that he heard about some emergency back home. It doesn't say whether he was afraid because of the persecution. It doesn't say that he looked at it and says, oh, this is not what I bargained for. We really don't know. All we know is that he went home. So in Acts chapter 15, when Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on their second missionary journey, and they're going to go back to some of the same places, Paul said, let's go back to the churches that we established and encourage them and strengthen them. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark. And later on in the scriptures, we find out that John Mark is Barnabas' cousin. And so there is a family tie there. But Paul says no. He left the first time. He might leave again. You know, it's just not working out. No, we don't need to take John Mark. Barnabas is so encouraging, he's willing to give John Mark a second chance. Now, does this mean that Paul was in sin or wrong in that occasion? No, it's just that he had a different opinion than what Barnabas had. Barnabas' opinion is, let's take him again. Let's give him another chance. Yeah, he left. Yeah, he went home. Yeah, that's true. But let's see if he's mature. Let's see if he's grown. Later on, when Paul writes the prison epistles, he mentions John Mark and commends him. And tells him how good a member, how faithful he is in his work. But at this point, Paul's not going to take him with him. Barnabas is. Barnabas says, all right, he did do something that we really, you know, didn't help us, but let's give him another chance. And that's the one thing about Barnabas. He's willing to look past people's mistakes. Are we that way? Do we hold something over somebody's head from a long, long time ago? Do we say, well, yeah, he says he's repented. Yeah, he went forward. Yeah, he said he was sorry. Yes, he said all that, but I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. Who are we to make that kind of judgment? Barnabas was a man who was gracious. He was willing to say, all right, there's human weakness. And again, it may have been he was homesick, it may have been he was scared, it may have been all kinds of things. We really don't know. But Barnabas was willing to say, let's give him another chance. Let's do that. Now, one other thing that we see about Barnabas is the fact that he was willing to endure hardships. You read about him and Paul in that first missionary journey, and you read about how they got beaten, you read about all the things that the Jewish leaders did to them, and you've got to really be dedicated to go through a beating. You've got to really be dedicated to have people reject you. You've really got to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to go through what he did. But Barnabas was willing to do it on that missionary journey. Now, we don't know everything about everything that Barnabas did after that, because he and Paul split up in chapter 15. Barnabas goes one way, Paul goes, takes Silas and goes another way. And so we really don't know a whole lot about him, but we understand the fact that he was dedicated to the Lord and willing to do everything that spread the gospel of Christ. Now, there is one more thing that we find about Barnabas in Scripture that we do have to mention tonight. He has all these wonderful characteristics. He's generous, he's encouraging, he's faithful, he helps others to be faithful, he's willing to take the Saul of Tarsus and bring him to the apostles, he's willing to overlook the problems with John Mark. He has all these wonderful characteristics. But there's one other thing we learn about Barnabas, and that is that everybody makes mistakes. Because in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul went up to Antioch and he saw Peter, and Peter was willing to sit in Gentile brethren, because you have to remember that's the first Gentile congregation, and eat with the Gentile brethren. But when the Jewish brethren showed up, Peter didn't want to eat with the Gentile brethren anymore. Paul said, I had to confront him to the face because of this hypocritical attitude that he had. And then Paul said, and even Barnabas was carried away and did the same thing. Now that's a pretty strong statement. Even Barnabas was acting like a hypocrite. That shows us that no person is perfect. Barnabas was great. Barnabas was wonderful. Barnabas is a son of encouragement. Barnabas was encouraging in so many ways, has so many good points, so many great things that we can say. But even Barnabas is carried away with that hypocrisy. In other words, Barnabas did the very same thing Peter did. When the Jewish brethren showed up, he didn't want the Jewish brethren to see him sitting with the Gentile brethren and eating with them. Now, again, the Jewish brethren had a problem. And Peter and Barnabas had a problem. And Paul's got to confront everybody with this problem. And we don't see it so much because we are not in that kind of situation. But the Jews hated the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews. And now you've got Jews and Gentiles all in the same church, all in the same body. And they're all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you got one that's saying, hey, we're not going to eat with those guys. Paul had to confront Peter. Because obviously, as an apostle, and even though Barnabas is not an apostle, he had to be confronted with the same hypocrisy. So it does give us one more lesson. That is, the lesson is that everybody, anybody, can make mistakes. It does also show us the fact that people need to be confronted with their mistakes. Paul did. Obviously, you've got leaders like Peter and Barnabas. They were obviously needed to be confronted in that situation, and Paul did so. Now, again, great things about encouragement. And I'm so glad that we can have brethren, a man like Barnabas, and we all need to be people of encouragement. And let's do all we can to encourage one another. To be faithful to Christ, to be faithful in every way, to be generous as much as we can, to encourage one another, help one another, and then one day go home and be with the Lord. Well, we're going to sing the invitation hymn right now. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that tonight. As a child of God, you really see that you have not lived a Christian life. We encourage you to dedicate your life to the Lord, whatever your needs might be. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to repent, to be baptized, to remission of your sins. As a child of God, you need to dedicate your life. Why not do that this evening? Whatever your needs are, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come. Always stand for what we're saying.